Good morning. This week's announcements, youth group will be meeting tonight at 4 o'clock. Awana Awards Night is May 10th at 6 p.m. and we're all invited to come attend that. It's ministry assignment time, so let Nicole know if anything needs changed, and if you would like to volunteer to help out in some way, in some category, as greeter, nursery worker, there's opportunities for us. So let her know, and we'll put you on the rotation. VBS is scheduled for June 13th, 14th, and 15th, so that's coming up. And registration begins this next week. Talk to Nicole about that, and we'll get that rolling. So there's some requirements for that, and so we'll get all that stuff done and get everybody registered. So Miles has an opportunity for us.
Thank you, Tom. And what an opportunity it is. In 2 weeks, on April 20th, we're going to have work. See? You're listening. I like that. Passed my test. On May 20th, starting at 8 o'clock, we're going to start our work day. And first, I want to thank the elders for setting this up. They came up with this in one of their elder meetings. That's something we should do. We did it. We've done it before. And this time, we're not allowing any pastors to put ladders in the back of trucks. So, but we're going to start at 8 o'clock. We're going to kick it off with a word of prayer, asking for God's help in everything that we're going to be doing. We'll have some snacks and coffee, water and juice, and then we're going to do a little bit of organizing and kind of make sure everybody knows what they're going to do and where they're going. We do have supplies here, ladders and some tools and painting supplies and things like that. But if you have anything that you think could work for whatever you sign up for, please feel free to bring it. I'd rather have too much here than not be able to do something because we can't get it done. And speaking of that, we will not get everything done. I have a list for indoors and outdoor items. And some of the outdoor items are painting the exterior doors and some of the trim, some of the awnings, downspouts and things all need painting. And then there's a classification for vegetation needs. In back of the playground here, there's been some volunteer trees that have popped up, some small ones, and I'm sure within a couple of weeks we'll probably have a weed or two popping up in the yard that might need to be addressed. And then construction needs. And there's, I just have two items there. Out by the gravel out there and our west lot, we have those metal dividers. And when they were doing all that tree removal and NSP was in here working on the lines and everything, they drove over it, and so several sections got really bent up, so they need to be straightened and put back in. And then another big item that we've got is that fan right up there. We've decided we never use it. We get drafts in and out, and so we're going to remove it. And we do have scaffolding that we'll be putting in here, but we do need to remove that. And we do have enough siding material to take care of the outside. We have some material for framing, but if anybody has just a little bit of sheetrock or a little bit of plywood, that would be enough to fill that hole, if you could bring that. If not, let me know. Or if I don't see it here, my first trip Saturday is going to be to go and get the supplies that we need so we can fill that up. Yeah. Well, only if you bungee cord the ladders to the truck. And then there's routine maintenance items, like the motion detectors outside need all the batteries changed, and just some cleaning the gutters and putting the gutter guards back on them, things like that. Then there's an indoor list that also has painting. If you look like underneath the shelves or the countertops over here on the walls, it's been nicked a little bit. Over by the door has been nicked a little bit. There's a few scrapes and scratches in the classrooms that need it, so it's touch-up. And then we've got a few stains in some of the carpet upstairs and down to clean up. And I've got down vegetation needs. And one thing that I've wondered for a long time is those plants upstairs that are this tall, that are in a pot this big, should they be put in bigger pots? I'm not a professional garden person, but that might be something we want to take a look at. And then we have an AED now. Gary's picked up, so that needs to be mounted. And then routine maintenance would be cleaning windows. That has to be done inside and out. So again, that's May 20th, starting at 8, and we'll go until we get done. If you can only be here for an hour or whatever, that's great. Just come and go. If you can't get here till the afternoon, that's fine. But I have lists over there to sign up, and there's a description for outdoor, description for indoor, and then sign-up lines underneath. And so if you would sign up, I would greatly appreciate that. And then I also just want to quickly mention that we're having a search team committee meeting today. And so next week, you can look forward to a search team report from somebody on the committee. Thank you. This morning, I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches in his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working in his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above the rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him the head over everything, for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way.
Do we have any kids that want to come here today? Appreciate so much each of you this morning. Come on up. Matthew won't bite you. He's all right. He'll treat you all right. Okay? That's Matthew. Say hi, Matthew. Say hi.
Hi.
Trying to get to know one another. What a good-looking crew, as usual, right? You all good-looking?
Huh?
Not Tanner? Well, I don't know. It's kind of stylish. It's kind of stylish, it's kind of stylish. Here, look in there and see what you think. See what you think there. What do you think?
That looks bad. Take off the tie real quick.
Yeah? He took off his tie. There's, yeah. See in there? In there? Yeah, look at that. Look at that, yeah. Can you see yourselves in there?
No, I'm a vampire.
You're a vampire, so you don't show up? I don't know about that. All right. Do you see yourself in there? Back there? Yeah, look at that. Oh, yeah. She doesn't want to look. Okay. Yeah?
Is today about you're not supposed to judge by the outward appearance, but judge by the inward appearance?
Well, that could be a really good lesson, but that's not what we're doing today. But that's a good thought. It's a very good thought. You know, the scripture says that you are being transformed into the image of guess who? God or Jesus, right? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the last verse, which is 18, verse 18, it says it's like you're looking in a mirror, but you're beholding, instead of yourself, you're beholding Jesus. Isn't that cool? When you're a believer in Jesus Christ, when you look in the mirror, you think you're seeing yourself, but no, that's Jesus you're seeing, because he is transforming you into his image. So one of these days, you all look exactly like Jesus, right? Well, maybe not on the outside, but on the inside, he's changing you. Was Jesus a nice guy?
Yeah.
Was he a loving guy? Was he a joyous guy?
Yes.
Was he gracious?
Yes.
Did he lie to people?
No.
No. Did he tell the truth all the time?
Yes.
Was he nice to his brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Do you think that Jesus was obedient to his mom and dad?
Yes.
Yeah, he sure was. Did you think he listened when he was being taught?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and so you're being transformed to be like Jesus in all those areas. And so that you know the love of God, but that love of God is going through you and to other people around you. Do you think Jesus loved himself too? Yeah. Do you love yourself? Okay. You love what Jesus is making you into, right? And in every way, God is glorified in that. And do you sometimes, when you pray, and be good to pray this pretty much every day, oh, Jesus, help me to be more like you. Do you pray that way? Yeah, that's something you can ask Jesus to do in your heart. And if you mean that in your heart, he's going to be doing it, okay? So that's good news. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that you are transforming us into your image. The scripture says we're made in the image of God. And the scripture also says that we fell, but as we come back to you and you're in the business of transforming us, that we would be like you. I pray for each of these young people, these young ladies and these young gentlemen, Lord, that they will just be growing to love you and to know your love more and more, that you would pour through them your love in such a way, and your honesty, all the wonderful things that we know about you. May these be coming true in each of their lives. And be with them as they go to their lesson now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can head off where you're supposed to go. That particular verse in Corinthians, just when you, 2 Corinthians 3:18, I invite you in the next 24 hours to take some moments, write that verse down, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And I just invite you, I don't care what version you look at, you can look up a King Jimmy, or you can look at an NIV, or you can look at an English Standard Version, but look that verse up and think about that in terms of what God is doing in your life. Just sit and think about that for a little while. We are being transformed into his image. And I'm just amazed by that thought and the depth of meaning to that. We fell away, but we're coming back in him. And we need that in this world, don't we? We need that. And going back to what I said to you a minute ago, I feel that way most of the time as a pastor, okay? So just, but it's fun. It's fun when you see the Spirit just take over. And it's fun when you're able to realize how he's working in all of our lives. Again, the passage that Miles read a few minutes ago, if you would turn to that in your Bibles or in your phone or whatever you've got there. Of course, the verses will be up here as well. I want to just take a minute and lift up a few prayer requests. Father, we do thank you for this time today. I do want to lift up the various things that are going on here in the body. We think of the VBS that's coming up, Lord, and we pray that that will be a time where young boys and girls will come to know you if they don't already, or grow in you if they do know you. We thank you for all that you've done through Awana this past year, and though that's kind of winding down here for the summer, we just thank you for each of those boys and girls and what a blessing they have been to our lives, and we just trust that you'll continue to work in each of theirs. I want to lift up Tom's mom as she is in difficult times at this point. We just ask that you'd be with her and also the family as they deal with all the challenges that they're facing with that. And we also, again, want to just lift up our search team as they're in the process of seeking your plan for the years ahead. And as we take a few minutes now and look into your word, we ask that you teach us and speak to us guide us, and we'll give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want you to know that I actually have put a ladder in the back of a pickup truck, but I wasn't the one that broke my leg, so that's just to define that. But when we were in Mayville, there was a hornet's nest up in a tree, and I decided I was going to get that thing out of there, and I put a step ladder in the back of my pickup truck. And they corrected me in North Dakota. They said that I did not own a truck. It was a pickup. And every time I would say my truck, they would say, no, it's a pickup. They said a truck is one of those big things that you haul grain behind, you know, mine didn't nearly qualify, especially since it was a Toyota Tacoma, you know. It really didn't qualify. But anyway. Title of my message this morning is Jesus Only. Only in his strength, not our own, are we able to live the Christian life. Only in his strength, not our own, are we able to glorify him as he is glorified through us by what he's doing and transforming us into new people. He's changing us. He's making us new. I want to mention the pro-abortion author at Slate Magazine could hardly contain her giddiness as she wrote, "Abortion access in Missouri is booming." And it's just a couple years ago this was said. She continued, "Missouri's recent stroke of good fortune promoting abortion," now again, this is her position, "may have to do with intervention from the fiery underworld." She literally said this. Okay? And you heard right. Planned Parenthood is now teaming up with Missouri Satanic Temple to fight state-level abortion restrictions in court. Okay? We have people in our government who are openly worshiping Satan. And it's not a few. It's a huge number. The numbers would shock you. We are in the times predicted that Jesus said would come. And I was interested that Tucker Carlson said, I don't know, did anybody hear that speech he gave a couple weeks ago? It's been all over the internet. And he got canned from Fox News. He was one of the only ones that I thought was kind of good there. but at the Heritage Foundation thing they have every year, conference or whatever they call it, he was talking about this whole idea that in all of history, there has never been a group of people, there's never been a civilization that has not been involved in the demise, and I'm wanting to be careful how I say this because we have at least one person here that I don't want to freak them out, but the demise of people this high, do you know what I'm saying? Offering up to Satan. And this is happening in our country today. It's been going on for a long time in the shadows. Why do I bring up this horrific thing? Because I think we need to realize, we need to understand that we say all the time, we're in spiritual warfare, don't we? We say that all the time. But I don't think we realize, because it's hidden, because it's underneath the cover, so to speak, it's in the shadows, we don't realize the extent and the awfulness and the reality of the spiritual war that we really are in. And we think of spiritual warfare, it is spiritual, it's in the heart, you know. There was a Native American at one point, and he was a young believer, and he said, there's a divide in my heart, decide which way things go. Do I do good or do I good bad? And he compared it to a black dog and a white dog. And he said, well, which dog wins? He says, the one I say sick 'em to. And there's a line through each of our hearts between going good and going bad. Which we choose, first of all, we accept Jesus or we don't. But which we choose from day to day, even from one action to the next, either gives Jesus the victory, so to speak, or gives the enemy the victory. But our power for change, our power for difference, is in Jesus Christ. We may not again realize, and I emphasize our need for power in this environment. You know, we look back at the apostles and we see them being martyred. I believe every one of them was martyred. And we say, now that was spiritual warfare. But you know, there are more martyrs. I believe it's been said every year. Didn't you say this yesterday, Ken? You know, it's every year, isn't it? In this world, in 1 year, there's more martyrs for Jesus Christ than there were back in those days, in all that time. There are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians dying for the faith. I read about a little girl just graduated from high school in a place we get all the spam from, Nigeria. In Nigeria, little girl, 17, 18 years old, just graduated. And all of her friends were of another religious persuasion. She was the only Christian, apparently, in her school. And she was saying, you know, Jesus helped me to graduate. Jesus helped me through my schools. And she was an excellent student. Her classmates stoned her to death. This just happened. I saw the note from Voice of the Martyrs just the other day. And these types of things are happening around our world all the time. We don't see it here, but the warfare is real. And this battle that I mentioned here, we need power. Power from the Spirit. We need His working in our heart and lives. In Genesis 11:4, it said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. The things that were done way back in those days really have never stopped. Sometimes they've kind of gone underground as far as we're aware. But the horrible things that man has done, he's continued to do. And only as Jesus Christ gets a hold of a person's life do our lives change. If you were not in Jesus, you'd go the way of the world. Say, well, I can be a good person. Really? It's interesting, we're going through this evangelism program of training that we've been going through this last few weeks, and it's not too late. This is the last week I'll let you come in, but I will help you catch up if you haven't been able to come the first couple weeks. This is the third week. But one of the things that we're to ask people is, are you a good person? Are you a good person? And most people will say, yeah, I'm a good person. You say, well, have you ever lied? Have you ever lied? No. Really? Really? Well, maybe a little lie. When I was a kid, you know, because the further back, of course, the more innocent we are. You know, if I did it a long time ago, it's not as bad as I just did it today. If a murderer committed murder 20 years ago, is it just as bad as if he'd just done it? Yeah, but if it's a long time ago, we kind of say, oh, that's no big deal. I've changed since then. But if you come before the judge and he says, are you guilty or not? We have to say, yeah, I've told at least one lie, right? And to be honest, most of us have told many lies. We say, oh, they were white lies, you know? But everybody's guilty, and only in Jesus Christ are we transformed, are we changed. And only in Jesus Christ can we be light in a dark world. We look at our world, we look at our country, and as we have strayed away from Jesus as a country, what has happened in our country? We can be good without God. We think that in our flesh, but the reality is, without God, we cannot be good. Without Jesus living in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will not be good. We are transformed by His power, not by law, not by willpower. Ever try to change a habit? For good or for bad, whichever the case may be. I am not going to say that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to act like that anymore. And 10 minutes later, we're doing it again, right? Or we're not doing something we want to do. We do not have the power to change ourselves, even in the smallest things. But Jesus Christ can transform us, even in the biggest things. And realizing that should almost make us fall on our knees every day and say, praise God that you're doing this work in me. You know, that you are doing it. You are glorified. Jesus is glorified in your transformation. Jesus is glorified in you. Because you're saying, not me, Jesus is doing this in me. Amen? And that should give you hope that you can be and are being transformed. When are you going to get to the passage we're talking about, Pastor? I was thinking maybe around 11:30, 12. No, we're going to get to it right now. We look at, almost, we look at Israel, and they, over and over again, you know, when you read the Old Testament and you see Israel turning to the Lord and they start following the Lord again, we're going, yay, 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 and that lasts for just a little while, and then off they go the wrong direction again, right? And only in Christ can the change be long term. When we get to Ephesians, when we look in the scripture in the New Testament, Jesus is evidenced in our lives by the spiritual heart impact of those who choose him. Only in Jesus do we find a foundation for faith, a path and power for growing faith. Only in him is the only way. There is no other way. Only in Jesus do we find our basis for living faith, our foundation. For this reason, I too, verse 15, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. They had a transforming faith in Christ. Their lives were being changed. And Paul could rejoice in what he was seeing and what was existing among them. He was seeing that change. As we've seen, that there is belief in Jesus, there's belief that he is the Son of God, belief that he indeed is God. And then there's the change in their following him and in their loving one another by the power of the Spirit. And that's a consistent thing. We saw that in 1 John. We're seeing that here. Go ahead, look through your other letters, epistles, and you'll find it over and over again mentioned. The change is evidenced by love for one another. And true faith is never stagnant in our lives. It always continually transforms us. Even in those dry times and those tough times. Anybody ever gone through a dry spiritual time? We say it's a dry time. I'm in the desert right now. I can't, it seems like my prayers aren't even getting to the ceiling, much less past it. Ever been there? I assure you, Jesus is always hearing your prayers. Why does he allow dry times in our lives, do you suppose? This is not rhetorical. Go ahead, blurt it out. Why do you think he might allow dry times? Learn to seek him more. Okay, learn to seek him more. Yeah. What else?
Learn to trust him.
Yeah, faith. Yeah. Yeah, that's really what he's doing. He's seeking to help us seek him more and to build our faith, build our trust. And we have to go through those times, you know? We realized, yesterday I was out on my bicycle. I could tell you a bicycle story almost every Sunday, okay? I was out on my bicycle, and I'm hearing this clang, clang, clang. What in the world is that noise? This is embarrassing. And I looked down and I realized I have three chain rings. They call the chain ring is where your crank is. And the third chain ring, the furthest to the inside. This is embarrassing, Kent. I'm really embarrassed in front of another. How many other cyclists we got here? I know Kent is. Okay, so the rest of you, I don't have to be embarrassing from. Just put your fingers in. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. The chain ring had come off. That means that I hadn't inspected that to the point where I had lost five bolts, and there was only one hanging on that thing. And it was going ching, ching, ching every time it came around. It's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. This is a guy who, after every race, used to tear my bike all the way down and put it all back together again and make sure everything was perfect again for the next race. Now I hardly look at it if I'm not on it. Sad. And I'm thinking the whole way, I've already gone down the hill. I'm already downhill. I have to go back up New Liberty. And that's my little chain ring. The little chain ring is the one you want for going uphill. I don't have that one. I took a rubber glove out of, I have rubber gloves, so if I have to fix my bicycle, my hands don't get as greasy. And I tied it in such a way, I took the last nut off, and I tied it in such a way so it wouldn't go ching, 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 and I could ride all the way home. But I'm facing that climb up New Liberty. You ever climb New Liberty on a hill, on a bike? It's a fun hill. And we used to say, you know, when you're climbing a hill like that, and I've climbed hills that are 18%. That's like, I've climbed hills that are 21%. That's like climbing a tree, okay? But the good thing about a hill like that is it increases your faith in your prayer life. Oh, God, help me. And you know, one of the things you don't want to do if you're a cyclist is it's really humiliating to have to walk up a hill. You don't want to be, you want it to be dark if you ever have to do that. You do not want to walk up a hill. I'm just telling you that. It's really humiliating. And so I'm just praying, oh, Lord, help me get up that hill. Well, I did get up the hill in the bigger gear. I assure you, I was praying. It really doesn't matter. I could have gotten off and walked and endured the humiliation. Jesus would say, you need that. You need that. But God allows tough times in our life because we do look to him in those times. And whatever those may be. And the dry times are going to come. But we do grow in those dry times. It just doesn't feel like we are. Because we're going through a dry time. It seems like God's a million miles away. But he's not. He's right there. And as we learn to continue to interact with him in those times and know the foundation is still secure even when it doesn't feel like it, we're growing. We're growing. We're growing. And it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 10 minutes or 10 decades. God is still working, and he's still going to allow some tough times, and he's going to bring some joyful times, easier times. But he's still working. He doesn't give up on us. And we learn to trust that he's still working in the midst of all of that. And our foundation is holding on to Jesus. When we can say, and we can always say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Can you say, Jesus is Lord? Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord of my life. You know, if Satan's got the hold of you, he can't say that. It's only by the scripture says in Corinthians, it's only by the power of the Spirit that you can say that. That's the Spirit, evidence of the Spirit working in you. I think I've said this before, but I've literally had people in my office that I was counseling, and I began to suspect what was going on in their life. I said, well, who's your Lord? Well, you know who my Lord is. Well, can you name him? Well, I could. I don't feel like it. Okay, so why don't you just go ahead and say, I don't want to. And they wouldn't. And guess what? That's an evidence that there's another thing going on in their life spiritually. They may not even be believers, but even if they are, if they're not operating by the power of the Holy Spirit, their flesh, our flesh, does not want to come and admit things before Jesus. That's the enemy. And again, I'm not saying necessarily that they're not saved. I can't make that judgment. It's not mine to make. But I will say that I've seen spiritual things happening in those situations that were weird. Just weird. People that seem to have their life all together, and yet when you ask them a question like that, they refuse to say the name of Jesus as Lord. And they find every excuse in the book to avoid it. So that's the Spirit of God working in your life, if you can even say that. Their faith was revealed in genuine love for others. We've already mentioned that. We know that we have passed out of death into life, 1 John 3. We talked about this a few months ago, because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. I think that it's fair to say that there isn't one person in your life that you don't disagree with at least one thing on. Is that fair to say? I mean, spouses, I'm sure you agree on everything. Right? Wrong. Cheryl and I agree on everything. Would you? Yeah, as long as I say she's right, we're good. But no, I mean, even the ones we love the most, we still have disagreements with, right? That's not about love. It's about love because you disagree and you still love them. You disagree, you have disagreements, and you make up later. You say, well, I'm sorry, I blew it, or whatever. And you allow the Spirit to rekindle that relationship where it's been marred, when it's been hurt. Next few verses, verse 17. Only in Jesus do we find our path to living faith. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. A spirit of wisdom. How many of you feel like you need wisdom? We need wisdom, don't we? And wisdom is really the proper application of truth, of knowledge, isn't it? Wisdom is the proper application of the things of God in our lives from day to day, from moment to moment. We need that wisdom. You know, we can say the right thing in the wrong time, right? We can say the right thing in the wrong time. And obviously we can say the wrong thing too, but wisdom is learning to apply the right thing to the right time in the right way. And Paul is saying that one of the things he's praying for the Ephesians is for wisdom to be in their lives, for them to have wisdom. We can ask God for wisdom, and he says he'll give it to us, right? And he also says that they'll have revelation. That means they're going to understand, be growing in understanding of God, of Jesus, revelation. Revelation of who God is. And this idea, again, of contemplation, which is in 2 Corinthians 3:18. The idea, the NIV uses the word contemplation there. As you're looking in the mirror, you ever looked in the mirror and contemplated? Oh, what a face, you know? Oh, my, you know? We look in the mirror, you know, shaving in the morning or something. Ladies, maybe putting some something. Not that any of you probably even need to do that, but I'm just saying sometimes some ladies do that. And I don't care about that. That's your thing. But I'm just saying that we contemplate ourselves in the mirror, don't we? You know, my face doesn't look the same as it did 20 years ago. Who is that guy? But the idea here is that you're looking at Jesus in that mirror, as you would look at yourself with intensity, perhaps, you know. If I'm shaving, I'm trying to make sure I'm not going to cut myself, right? I'm trying to be careful. And if we're looking in the mirror, we're doing something else, maybe you got ever had something in your eye, trying to look in the mirror and get it out, you know? And we're looking really hard at that situation. And the idea is that we're looking really hard at Jesus. We're contemplating who he is by all we've learned about him in the scriptures, by what his spirit is revealing to us, within us, who he is and who we are becoming in him. We contemplate, we think hard, we meditate on him. And that's the idea here, this idea of being transformed, and that we would be having this revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart, you ever notice your heart eyes lately? Look at your little eyes in there. You know, I've got, this is one of my memory verses. I've got literally a picture of a heart to help me remember it with little eyes in it. Okay. And you think about the eyes of your heart. Again, that's the idea. Again, this idea of contemplation, this idea of understanding, not just here, but understanding in our very soul. The combination of understanding and feeling and the depth of soul. You are not just a bunch of fleshly people with firing synapses up here, okay? You're not that. You have that, but that's not all you are. You have a spirit of God living in you. You are spirit. We talk about soul and spirit, right? We talk about soul and spirit. And the spirit of God who lives in us, a soul is a combination of all these things together, the fullness of who we are. When we leave this world, we won't end up just being disembodied spirits. We're going to have new bodies. Everybody said, praise God. You know, we're going to have new bodies, but we'll still be in essence who we are, only without the sin, without the fallenness anymore. That's gone. It's been taken away in Jesus Christ. We're new creatures in him. And he's doing that. And this is the path of living faith. This is the path of growing in him and contemplating him and focusing on him. I challenge you to take 5-10 minutes, maybe some of you already do this, 5-10 minutes, 20 minutes, I don't care. Sit down and just let your thoughts be all about Jesus for 5 or 10 minutes every day. Just sit down and say, Jesus. And you can take a verse of scripture about Jesus and you know, rehearse it. You can look at a story of Jesus. You think about Jesus walking in the water. Contemplate that. What's that like? He's walking on water. Peter, come on out here. You can do it too, if I'm with you. But Jesus walked in the water. Think about Jesus dying. Think about Jesus on the cross, hanging there, dying, looking at you, loving you, saying, I'm doing this for you. Think about that. Think about him, his victory over death and his resurrection. Just sit and think of one of those pictures, one of those short little movie clips of his life. Focus on him. See who he is. See his great love. See his willingness to sacrifice and so forth. We talked about the Shroud of Turin. I found, this is an extra, I'm throwing it in on the side. No charge. And somebody has taken, they managed to animate the face of that face on the cross. They animated it so that when you look at it, it's like Jesus is hanging there on the cross. And he's moving and he looks around, he opens his one eye. And I don't know why, it just really got to me. To think that is literally an imprint, so to speak, of the image of my Savior, your Savior, on that shroud. And he was able to do this through computers and all technology and stuff blew me away. But as I looked at that, and I thought, that's my Lord. And I just, you know, about brought me to tears as I thought of that love for you, for me, as we look at what he's done. And again, that's a form, that's contemplation. It's thinking about what he's done for us. And these things are helpful for us to realize the depth of our relationship with him. I sometimes think, and to put it in another perspective, I can sit here and I think about my love for my dear bride, and I can think about her love for me. And I think about our relationship and what that's been like for 43 years. And I think about all those years together, and we often tell the story of when we first met and how I was calling her by her last name, all that stuff. But I just think about all the things that we've experienced. I contemplate that, so to speak. And I say that as an illustration, okay, just take that and bend it toward Jesus and contemplate that relationship, your relationship with Jesus. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? You think about a person, but then you think about that person. And you focus on him for a few minutes. And that's really biblical contemplation. As we look at what, not what can be seen with the eyes, but we gaze upon what we cannot see. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Galatians 4:6. Abba, Daddy, Dad, Father. That close familial expression of our relationship. And then we look at, for God, who said light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:6. Again, what he's doing in us to transform us, to make us into, growing us into little Jesuses, if you will. Christian means little Jesus, little Christ. And that is who you are becoming, who we're becoming in him. And the more, you ever notice that when you hang around a person, you pick up their expressions, you pick up some of their mannerisms, they may pick up some of yours, you know? I noticed my kids say things when they were growing up. My kids still say things that I used to say. Like, where did they get that? Sometimes that's good, sometimes it may not be so good. But some of it's just innocuous, it's just an expression, and I know that it's something that I've realized that it's something I said. If you hang around somebody, you pick up. If we hang out with Jesus, guess what? We hang out with Jesus in prayer, we hang out with Jesus in the Word, we hang out with Jesus in the community of faith, and these things that are of Christ begin to rub off, are rubbing off. And that's why we need to be together, Hebrews 10. We need to be together. We need to be. How many needed encouragement at least once this week? You know? It was nice. It would have been nice to have it. You know, maybe you did. I hope you did. But we're here to encourage one another. You see our brother or sister feeling down? You know? As I said, you know, a couple weeks ago, I could really empathize with Brother John over here as he was going through the tooth thing. You know? Now, I could empathize just because it's pain, and I'm a brother, we're brothers in Christ, but I also had been there, done that. You know, and I'm also thinking of Roger back there, and now we have a shared experience, so to speak, right, Roger? And yet we all have a shared experience in Jesus. We're growing in him, and we encourage one another in the body as we come together. Oh, I don't need to go to church. I just go out in the woods, and I hang out with the moles and the bats and the birds. And boy, I'm not against that. But it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, but come together so you can encourage one another. You can go out in the afternoon in the woods and hang out with the moles and the bats if you want. Hang out with the birds. And I like birds. Not so into moles. Bats can be interesting. I was in Mali. When I was in Mali, you know they had bats this big? And they were all hanging upside down on these trees. What's that noise? It's the bats. Oh, my goodness. And there were hundreds of them. They're fruit bats. They're kind of cute looking for bats. Not that I wanted to bring one home as a pet. In Jesus only do we find power for living faith. Verses 20, latter part of verse 19. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Power for living. He's working, and it's impossible to live, again, the Christian life in our own power, as we've already mentioned. We can't do it. It's impossible. It's not just difficult. Somebody said it's impossible. It's impossible. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, it happens. Our means of faith, expansion, what is in accordance? Well, it's in accordance with the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, inheritance in the saints, and surpassing greatness of his power. And Paul wants to give the Ephesians, he wants to give us, God wants to give us through Paul here, confidence that their faith has a means to grow. And that means is not through their strength or faith. Their faith grows in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. And again, you can just present your soul, you present your heart, present yourself, say, Lord, here, do this work in me that you've promised to do. Philippians 1:6, until the day of Jesus Christ. And he will do it. He is doing it. The power and authority of Jesus. Paul proclaims the power and authority of Christ to give us confidence that will expand our faith. He seeks to give us at least some small view of the power of Jesus. Our basis for faith is in Christ. He says these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. His strength, his might, his power. He is working in you. That's a reality. That's a reality. And we ask, what kind of spiritual impact is your faith in Jesus having in your life? How are you seeing your life change? That'd be something else you do. You want homework this afternoon? How many of you need some homework? You know, sit down sometime and take a piece of note paper and literally write down things that you notice that Jesus has done in your life today, or maybe in the last month, or even over several years as you've seen your life changed. You know, and it's not about bragging, because you hold it up and say, "This is to your glory, God. You have done this." Not me. It's the Holy Spirit working in me. But, you know, sometimes to write something down and look at it makes it all the more tangible, all the more real to us. And it's a valuable exercise. Some people do that on a daily basis. They look at it, they will think through their day and think of how God has worked in their life, through their life, in that day. What's he done? What did I see today? What did I learn? How did God maybe use me? How did God show up today? Well, God always shows up. He's always there. We just don't always notice. And so when we do that sort of thing, we're really just helping ourselves to notice what God is already doing in our lives. And again, it can be very helpful for us. The basis of our living faith is Jesus. He's the basis for our strong foundation. He's the basis. He's our path for where we're going. Power for living, power for growing. And it's only, again, only in Jesus. It's in his power. Without Christ, we'd be nothing. But with Christ, we can be everything in his strength and power, reality. And I guess the biggest thing for me has been over the years realizing that I don't just know that here, but I'm owning it. I'm owning it as a reality in my life. You know, own the things that we've talked about this morning for your life. Christ is doing this. Say it with me. Christ is doing this with me. Christ is doing this in me. Let's do it again. Jesus is doing this in me. Own that. Look in the mirror this afternoon, okay? Or get your phone out and flip your camera around, you know? Look at yourself, like your selfie. And you say, Jesus is doing this in me. Jesus is doing this in me. Own it. The reality of it. We come to this table not because we've earned it, not because we have a right. Our right is only in Christ. Amen? We come to this table because of what he has done for us. As we come to this table, there's some here and over there. I assume that's the gluten-free table. It usually is. And we come to this time. I invite a couple elders to come up, at least a couple of you, to come up at this time. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll prepare to receive the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for what you've done. May we be people who are about the transformation that you are doing in us. May we be willing for that. And as we prepare to partake of these elements, Lord, may you be glorified in it. And may we rejoice in what you've done in us, not only here this moment, but day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.